Turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 21, and then I'll read verse 32 to follow. John chapter number 11. Stand with me, please. And in John chapter number 11, I'll begin at verse number 17. If you'll join me on the even-numbered verses, we'll read down through the 21st verse, and then I'll read verse 32 on my own. Verse number 17 says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And verse number 32 says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Let's go ahead and go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, it was good to sing a little while ago about the blood, Lord, that you shed for us. Lord, the blood that has the power to save us. And Lord, thank you so much for that day when I asked you into my heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd please just be with the special music here. I pray, Lord, that you'd prepare our hearts and then you'd be with our preacher as he preaches. Give him the words to say, and then I pray, Lord, that you'd please just help us to listen to what you have for us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. Before him, all adore him.
music tonight. Appreciate those fellows being here today and singing for us. That's a blessing. All right. I want to speak from this passage for a little bit tonight on this subject, lessons from Lazarus' death. I mentioned this morning that I might speak, just tell a few of the incidents, the things that were involved in Ben Nash's little boy's home going the other day. I'm reluctant to do it, but at the same time, so many people ask questions, and sometimes it's just easier to respond in whole rather than trying to tell the whole story to each person individually. And again, I appreciate the interest and all the prayers and all that the kind words that have been sent our direction. Somebody asked about making contact with them. They get email. If you want to email them, they've received some emails from some folks here, but they can get email. And she should go home from the hospital, or home, but she should be dismissed from the hospital tomorrow morning, hopefully. And then they have some other hurdles to jump before probably getting back here later on. So I want to speak a little bit, lessons from Lazarus' death. This may be just maybe something to help you, because I'll get ahead of myself if I say too much more. So let me pray, and we'll get started tonight. Our Father, I'm thankful for your word. It has been a healing balm in my heart, and I thank you for what it is for us. You have given us such a precious gift. And hear the choir sing about your word changing lives. And Lord, as a pastor of a church, I know there are people here not benefiting from it. They're not in it. They're not reading it. They're not looking at it and trying to incorporate your truths into their lives. It grieves me. But Lord, there are many who are, and many who love the book. And Father, it just seems like it's always applicable. It always meets our needs. It's always one step ahead of us, and I'm thankful for that. Use it tonight in our midst. Encourage our hearts. Speak to us in a very special way. Help me, I pray, as the messenger. That's all I want to be, just a messenger of your truth to somebody who has a receptive heart tonight. May the seed fall on some good ground in Christ's name. Amen. It's obvious from reading the Gospel of John that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were close as siblings. When you read about them, they're almost always together. Now, in this case, Lazarus, of course, has died. And when Jesus came to town, Martha and Mary both went out to meet him. Martha went first, and then Mary followed. And they both said the exact same thing. You probably picked that up when we were reading just a little bit ago in verses 21. In verse 21, you have what Martha said. And in verse 32, you have what Mary said. And if you compare them, they are exactly the same statements. They both said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I don't know what you think, if you kind of ponder that a little bit, but my mind believes that maybe they had been speaking to each other in the house and talking in person with each other, and they knew maybe that Jesus was coming to town, and so they came to a joint conclusion that, you know, if Jesus had been here earlier, our brother Lazarus would not have died. And maybe Martha said that to Mary, and Mary said that to Martha, and they agreed with each other, and when they went to see Jesus, they both said the exact same things. Now, their hearts were broken, and their hearts were saddened and overwhelmed with grief, like anybody would be who loses a sibling. And when you are that way, you can say things that you don't really mean, or that you don't take the time to think through completely. And that's very human. That's very, very human. And the truth of the matter is, in both cases here, Jesus never rebuked either of these women. He never rebuked them. Because you say things when you're in a moment of grief or sadness or sorrow that sometimes you don't take the time to think through completely. When death comes, it is easy to think things that are not true. And there are things that, you know, your mind tries to piece together and put together to understand. And the truth of the matter is, it's difficult. And sometimes our conclusions that we arrive at are not truthful. Sometimes our conclusions are not real. And I think that's the same thing about what happened to Mary and Martha here. And you know, the thing about it is, we know that in advance. We know that we have to be careful when our hearts are overwhelmed with grief. We know that we have to be careful when sorrow fills us. We know what we're capable of, and yet we get there in spite of what we fear. We come to conclusions and try to piece things together that just don't make a lot of sense. And so that's what happened here, I think, with Mary and Martha. One thing I have understood in this circumstance that has happened since Friday is I've been amazed how it has opened some old sadnesses for many of you. It's opened old sadnesses for many of you. And when Brian and Debbie walked in the hallway, my mind had already gone as far back as years ago. And I've been here going on 25 years. And I don't know what year it would have been, Brian. 88. My mind went as far back as 1988. And I reminded Joyce of this the other day when I walked into a hospital room and Brian and Debbie were holding a little lifeless baby. He was not stillborn, but he didn't live very long. Just a few minutes, and or maybe a day or two, I forget, but I'm sorry, but then he passed away. His name was Nathan. And when Debbie walked in this morning, it was hard for her to talk. It's been 88 years ago. How many years is that, 27? 27 years, but something like this opens up an old sorrow. And then my mind went to as recent as a year ago with Dave and Gina. And about almost the same exact size baby, almost the same exact time as far as his age, and almost the same time of year, March 26th, March 28th, I believe it was, when when Dave and Gina, and she gave birth to the stillborn little boy here in the States. You remember that? It was just a year ago. And when Marlene walked in this morning, Marlene was already choked up with emotion. Things like this opened old sorrows. And so many in this room have had either miscarriages or stillborn babies, you know. And I don't understand everything about miscarriages. I don't understand about all that happened. But I believe this, folks. I'll go to my grave, I think, believing this, that life begins at conception. And I believe that's a life. And I don't know how much to say. I don't know what else to say about that. And the truth of the matter is, I've told you before, maybe in messages along these lines, you know, for some reason, my wife and I, we never had a miscarriage. As many children as we had, we never had a miscarriage. But many of our own kids, if you count every miscarriage as an ever-living soul, plus this little stillborn boy, we have 5 grandchildren in heaven now. 5 of them. And some of you are the same way. And when things like this happen, it opens old sorrows. Not wounds. I don't think they're wounds. I don't think that the Maxwells have carried any bitterness in their heart. I don't think the Schrocks have. I don't think Marlene and Moon have. But, you know, it opens old sorrows. It brings memories back that aren't always pleasant. Difficult things. And I've learned that. These last few days, I knew that, but just have relearned it. You know, the last time I was with you before this past Wednesday night was February the 22nd. And at that point in time, they had just medevaced Ashley over to Johannesburg. And Ben and her both went in that Learjet, flew over there, which I'm not going to relive that thing again. But that was a miracle of God that happened. And I still believe it was the best thing. I'm really glad they got to South Africa. I believe that this baby had been stillborn in Madagascar, they would have beat themselves over the head thinking they could have done better, but I really believe they did everything they could do. And I don't blame a doctor. I don't blame a soul. Blame anybody. This is God's plan. And I told you back then, I didn't know what all would happen. On Tuesday, I finalized my plans because Joyce was in Madagascar, not by herself, but by herself with the 3 girls and help from the Rackleys and other missionary families. But, you know, those are not her family. When I flew out on Wednesday, landed on Thursday night, landed in the rain. You leave, you arrive in Madagascar at 11:30 and you leave Madagascar at 2 in the morning. I don't know why that is, except maybe it's the last place on earth where you can go. And, you know, planes have to end somewhere and start somewhere. So Madagascar is the place, I guess. But it was raining, but she stayed up for me when Ben finally got me to the house. It was probably 12:30, 1:45 on Friday morning, and she was still up. And the look on her face of relief when the door opened and I was there was very evident. And so Ben stayed a couple of days. We had a good time on Saturday. We visited together. I taught his preacher's class for a couple hours. I spoke for him, and he interpreted for me all day on Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and the Sunday afternoon service. We had a wonderful time. And then he flew out back to Johannesburg to be with Ashley, and that left me and Joyce there with the 3 girls in Madagascar. And I want to tell you something. That was an experience. Life in Madagascar. You lose power, you lose water, but it's a way of life for them. One day the power was off all day. Another day the water's off all day. But they've got things that they put in place to deal with it. And really, by the end of our stay there, power would go off and you get along. It's just the way life is in that country. And I actually thought the water being off was worse than the power being off, to be honest with you. So he has a nice little Honda generator there. And we got to visit with some of the missionaries. And again, I went to the village ministry on that Saturday. And the last Saturday I was there, and I preached all day Sunday. Now, here's exactly how this happens. You know, we got up on Sunday morning to go to Sunday school, Sunday church. You don't go to bed because you leave out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you got to get to the airport. It's chaos at the airport, and you got to get there early. And so we were up from Sunday morning Madagascar, which would have been Saturday night here, to Monday night. And we got home with the girls, and I won't go into all that again. God did some wonderful things for us on that trip. But when we got here with the girls, the Finns came and picked the girls up. I was here on Wednesday night. I told you that she had an ultrasound, that everything looked good, and that's exactly what. That was it. It was good. It was fine. That was Wednesday. And the Finns were here. They took the girls to Oklahoma City on Thursday. Ashley woke up very early in the morning. On Friday morning, she felt the baby move. And then when she woke up later, went back to sleep when she woke up later, and I guess only a mother would know this, she just said it was too still. It was too still. And so she told Ben, and they went to the hospital, and they had the ultrasound, and there was no heartbeat. So sometime in those hours, early Friday morning, God visited her womb and took that little guy to heaven. The night before, Thursday night, they had decided. They waited. They had not decided on a name, but they decided on the name Robert Samuel. Robert is our name. I'm Robert Terry. My dad's Robert. I'm Robert. He's Robert. And the little guy was Robert Samuel. The Lord hath heard. The Lord heard their prayer for a little boy. But so they decided on Robert Samuel, and they had the C-section. It was an emergency since the baby was already passed. They took their time. It was very high risk with the placenta previa. But he was delivered, and they got to hold him. And Ashley got to hold him, and Ben got to hold him. And some of you have been there. Some of you have gone through that. And you know what that's like. And, you know, then, of course, they take him away. And then they hope to bring him to the States for burial. I don't know. There's so much red tape with the airline industry and flying an embalmed body, but they don't know if he can be embalmed because of his size. I called a funeral home director here in the area yesterday to get some help and was advised just to cremate him. I said, sir, that's out of the question. It's out of the question. And because you can fly an urn on an airplane with ashes in it. And they'd like to either get him here. Second best would be to Madagascar, but they may have to bury him in South Africa. I hate that because they probably won't be back there, you know, unless they just go on purpose to visit the grave. But they're still trying to figure. He's going to call the embassy tomorrow and see if they can help him at all with that. So, there's just a lot to it, and we spoke with them again this afternoon. We've tried to call often and visit with them, and Ashley's doing well. Now, I just praise God that she's okay. I praise God that he's not coming home with two caskets. I mean that with all my heart, and I'm very, very, very thankful. So that's kind of how it went down, and just alive one moment and gone the next. And that's how it is, not only when they're that age, that's how it is sometimes when you're older in life. Here one moment and gone the next. So here are some things I think we can learn from the story of Lazarus' death that I've been pondering about since Friday morning. First of all, I want us to see tonight that Jesus was there. Jesus was there. You know, both of those ladies' statements started like this. I've got something catching in my throat. Both of their statements started like this. If thou hadst been here, implying that Jesus was absent. if thou hast been here. But folks, I believe with all of my heart, they were mistaken to believe that Jesus was not there. Now, obviously, physically and personally, Jesus was not there. But that did not mean that He was not aware and fully knowledgeable about Lazarus' dying. The sisters had sent word to Christ that Lazarus was sick. But in verses 11 through 14, Jesus speaks of Lazarus' death. Now, we're not told that Jesus was informed about Lazarus dying. We cannot forget that Jesus Christ is one-third of a great triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. And Jesus said about God in Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." I love that. You know what Jesus is saying? He is saying that if a valueless bird like a sparrow cannot die without God's full knowledge and God's full concern, how much more does that apply to people? How much more does God care about people? And through the wisdom and omniscience of the eternal Godhead, Jesus was there when Lazarus died. And I want to tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that He was there when little Samuel died. And He was there when your loved one died. Jesus was there. Physically, personally, He sits at the right hand of the Father. But being a part of that great triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, He's fully aware, Ward, of when your dad took his last breath. I believe with all of my heart that Christ was there. Christ was there. You know, for a parent, the thing about this, to be so far away from Johannesburg, South Africa, folks, it is forever away down there. To get on a plane and fly from Johannesburg to Atlanta, Georgia, is 17 hours. And that's usually the flight pattern that they take. 17 hours to come back to the States. And for a parent to be so very far away, it's a struggle. Because when your kids are hurting, you want to be there. You want to be with them. And yes, we grieve over the little boy. We're sad we'll never get to know him as a grandson and hold him and do all the things that grandparents do with their grandchildren. But my heart was aching more Friday and since then for the dad and the mom. The dad and the mom. You know, it's like Ashley said. She said, "Sometimes my heart has a dull ache realizing that we'll leave Johannesburg with empty arms." Only a mother would know that, how that feels. And for a parent who's so far away, what can you do? And for them, they were all alone. They were all alone. There was no missionary family there. Nobody. They were all alone in a strange country. South Africa sounds more developed and modernized than Madagascar, and it is. But Madagascar is more their home than Johannesburg is. So they were all alone. But I want to tell you something. Even though we couldn't be there and they were alone, they were not alone. Because I believe that Jesus was there. You know, when they called to tell us about the little boy's home going, they were heartbroken. But they were not out of control. Because we sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. As others who have no hope. So Jesus was there. I believe that with all of my heart, just like He was for Lazarus. Number two, I want us to see this tonight. The presence of Jesus does not mean the absence of physical death. The presence of Jesus does not mean the absence of physical death. What Mary and Martha said, look at it again in verse number 21. "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Jesus, your presence here would have meant the absence of physical death. Now, Jesus said to Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. Watch it. He that believeth in me, listen now, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You know what Jesus is saying? That I did not come to eliminate physical death, but I did come to provide spiritual life. The presence of Jesus does not eliminate the aspect of physical death, but it our Savior's presence does mean that spiritual life is available, and it does mean that physical death is not permanent. Our spirit never dies, and our body's death is only temporary. Only temporary. You know, in this instance, I've been asked, as I have been asked before, about the bodies of babies in heaven and about those who are miscarried. What will they be like in heaven? Now, folks, here's the answer for you. I don't know. I don't think it's wise to make definitive statements where the Bible is silent. And I don't know a place in the Bible that is definitive about. I do know this. I told my father-in-law this the other day, or my parents one, when we were talking about it. I think it might have been my mother who said, "Terry, what do you think about little babies in heaven?" I said, "Mom, I do know this. In the millennial kingdom, there will be boys and girls playing on the streets. I do know that because that's found in the Old Testament. In the millennial kingdom. But I don't know in heaven if somebody speculates that we'll all be age 33. That would be a little bit boring, I would think. I don't know. I guess that's bad. I don't know. But why would you speculate on that? I don't know what about the body of a little baby in heaven. But what I do know is that Jesus' presence did not prevent physical death. But I want to tell you something. There in Johannesburg, I believe Jesus was with that couple, and I believe that even though Jesus was there, I know that little boy lost his physical life, but his life left his body, physical death came to little Samuel, but his life was never in danger of being lost. His life, his soul is with the Lord. The reality is that many times the presence of Jesus is very real and very near in the face of physical death. That physical death is only temporary. Many, many testimonies from saints who are dying include them saying things like this: "I see Jesus. I see." And you say, "Do you think they really do?" I think they do. I really do. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. And a lot of testimonies like that, I believe they do. They died physically, even in His presence. So the presence of Christ does not mean the absence of physical death. That's kind of what they said. "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. Your presence would have meant there would have been no physical death." But that's not true. Jesus didn't come to take away physical death, but Jesus came to make physical death temporary for a child of God. Temporary. I want to say number three tonight. Listen to this. Physical death results in tears of sorrow. In tears of sorrow. Verses 33 through 35 talk about Mary weeping and those that were with her weeping. And I want to say Jesus never rebuked them for their tears. The truth of the matter is, He wept with them. Tears are not evidence of a lack of faith. Tears are not evidence of weak faith. Tears are testimony to the closeness of the one who has died, or our sorrow and grief for the one who is grieving. Now, I've heard preachers preach that Jesus cried because He was sad that the Jews had no faith in Him. That they didn't believe He could raise Him from the dead. I think that's stretching it a little bit. I think Jesus wept because He loved Mary. I think Jesus wept because He loved Martha. I think Jesus wept because He loved Lazarus. Verse number 5 tells us that in this passage. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I believe Jesus wept because He loved them. We had tears for a little baby we never knew. Tears for a little baby we'll probably never get to hold. We had tears for the parents of that little baby who were sorrowing. It's not a sign of weak faith. It's not a sign of a lack of faith. It's a sign of love. A sign of love. And again, you know, I just appreciate all the things that have been said from so many of you. Emailed, texted. I read a little story just today. Leonard Dice sends out these little pieces of paper. Oh, he sends them out four at a time. He does a little paper down there in Pittsfield, Illinois, for Brother Gary Dice. And it had a little story. You know, this is the way God does things. God just does things when your heart needs help. You know what I mean? And there was a little story in there about a 4-year-old girl who was out playing in her neighborhood. And she saw one of the neighbors sitting in a chair, an older man. He was weeping. And she went over and climbed up in his lap and sat up in his lap with him and just sat there for a little bit. And her mother watched that happen. And when she climbed down off his lap, after a while went back to the house, her mother said to the little girl, said, "What did you say to Mr. So-and-so to help him feel better?" And she said, "No, I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." You know, I thought that was so accurate. A lot of times that's all people need, They don't even need words. They just need to know that somebody's weeping with them. And so many of you have been so helpful with that. I really appreciate it. And a physical death results in tears of sorrow. It's not a lack of faith. It's not being weak in faith. It shows that you were close to the person. Let me say this tonight, that a Christian's death is for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. Look what the Lord said in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now somebody might say, "Well, you know, that was true in this case because Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead." Friend, Jesus is going to raise every saved person from the dead. And each and every one of those will bring Him glory. Now, I believe there was a specific purpose involving the glory of God for Lazarus' death. And that was so that Jesus could be exalted. And I believe there's a specific purpose involving the glory of God for this little guy's death. And we may have to wait a while to know what that is. But I believe there's a specific purpose for it. And I told my son, and I tried not to be robotic. I tried not to spiritualize everything. I tried to be human. That's pretty easy for some of us, for me especially. But I did try to help him. You know, I said, "Ben, it may be that this will be like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And without trying to be pious or super spiritual, I said, "Son, we have to realize that the gospel is bigger than all of us. It's bigger than all of us." And it is. Because without the gospel, there is no heaven. There is no salvation. There is no place where little babies go who die before they reach the age of accountability. The gospel is bigger than all of us. And if God reached down and took a little 4-pound, 5-ounce boy to heaven from the womb of its mother, and His plan for that, His purpose for that is for the gospel to have a broader and greater impact in the land of Madagascar and beyond, I'm not clicking my heels about that. I'm not crazy. But friend, the gospel is bigger than all of us. And Paul knew that. Paul had that down. I don't think he was very excited about being in prison. I don't think he was very excited about being hated and vilified. And people, while he was in prison, preaching pretentiously, just to prick at him and goad him. I don't think he enjoyed all that. But he had the right perspective. The gospel is bigger than him. And the gospel is bigger than me and my wife. The gospel is bigger than our family. The gospel is bigger than your family. The gospel is bigger than all of us put together. And if God brings, if God gives furtherance to the gospel out of the homegoing of this little boy, then you know, that was God's plan. That was God's will. And all I can do and all my wife can do and our family can do is just submit to His plan and His will for this matter. And I will say that Jesus was there. I believe that with all of my heart. And Jesus was there when your loved one died. And the presence of Jesus does not mean the absence of physical death, but it does make it temporary. Temporary. That body is coming out of that grave, you know. And if they have to leave that little boy in South Africa, if they have to leave that little body there, and they're alive when the trumpet sounds, they'll be reunited with that little guy immediately with the Lord, and you know, in the air, as 1 Thessalonians 4 says. Physical death results in tears of sorrow, and a Christian's death is for the glory of God. So, church, that's all I wanted to say tonight. I just, my mind's been in a whirlwind since Friday. Forgive me if you think it's too much. It's not about us. It's about what God had for us to learn from all this. And I hope that answers your questions. And I so appreciate it. You know what song has been going through my mind? I tried to find, I think it's in our, it was in the old gray book, which ought to be in the red book now. There's two songs about the family of God. And one of them is, "Sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs." Is that in that red book? Is that in this book somewhere? Is it, Naomi? Huh? You think so? I'm going to ask you ladies to come to the organ and come to the instruments, if you would, whoever's here to play. Who's here to play? Is it in that book? Huh? Okay, can you come on, Naomi, and play that for us tonight, and anybody else that can play? And what page is it? Now, that's a different family of God. Is that the same? Is that the right one? Let me look at it here. 481. Because I know there's a couple of them. No, that's not the one I wanted. If there's another one, God's family. Is it in there? Yeah, God's family. That's right. That's it. 515. Let's stand together. I think you know this. This song's been, yeah, that's it. Perfect. This song's been going through my mind and heart the last couple of days. So let's sing this together. This is how it's been for with you folks have been so kind, other people around the country. We're part of the family that's been born again. 515. So give us an introduction, ladies. Let's sing that a little bit tonight. That will be our benediction. We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. And now we're part of home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be. When we all get to heaven, God's family. Let's the last verse together now. Ready? And though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. Sing it together now, ready? And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be. Oh, when we all get to heaven, God's family. You know, the coming of the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross made a huge difference in our lives. But it also makes a magnificent difference in death. In death. Our Heavenly Father, we love You tonight and submit ourselves to Your will and Your plan. And thank You so much for the encouragement of such kind people, helpful people. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who've walked this path before and these stories and these kind of events open old sorrows in their hearts, sorrows that are too deep, Lord, to just bury away somewhere. I pray for them. I pray, God, for those, for Ben and Ashley in South Africa tonight, Lord, that You'll please comfort their hearts. Do only what You can do. And Lord, truly, if You tarry Your coming, others in this room will walk a road similar to that. And I pray that when they do, they'll learn or remember some of these things that we learned from John 11. You're there when death takes place. And even though You're there, Your presence doesn't mean the absence of death, but it does mean that physical body is only temporarily lifeless. And we're thankful for that. And Lord, thankful for tears, for people who help us cry. It's so encouraging. And then, Lord, we do ask that this will work to Your glory, to Your honor. Father, we feel there's a greater purpose, a bigger plan. We can't see it, but we sure trust the planner. bless our hearts tonight. Bless our church. And I pray, God, for those that are ill and been under surgery, recuperating, would you please bring healing to them and healing to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just play that song through one time, whatever you got for them. But if you want to use the, just whatever you got, just play it. And if you want to use the...